Going on, everybody. Welcome to the Warrior Soul Podcast. And this week, I've got a really special episode for you. And it starts with a little bit of a story. About a year and a half ago, I decided I wanted to try some other sports. I wanted to get out of the house more, interact with others. And so I decided to try jiu-jitsu. Now, I was a wrestler in high school, and I absolutely loved wrestling. It's one of the things that I think had a huge influence on my life because it taught me personal responsibility. And I really think that it's one of the only things that a young man can do, or a young woman these days can do in high school, that's really going to teach you the kind of responsibility that that only wrestling can. I mean, you're responsible for your weight, you're responsible for your condition, and when you're in a match, though you're training with your team and your team supports you, it's only you who can do the job. So I wanted something like that back in my life. I'd been doing powerlifting and bodybuilding for years, and I wanted something else, and I wanted to test myself. So I went down to one of the local academies out here in Redlands. It's called Pinnacle MMA. It's run by Jake Bainey. And I walked in the first day, and Jake's like, "Hey, come on, start training. Don't worry about getting a gi or nothing like that." So I walked in my shorts and my t-shirt. And at the time, I was a lot heavier than I am now and a lot stronger than I am now. I was about 200 pounds, and I could deadlift 600 pounds. And, you know, I was squatting 500 pounds and lifting all these heavy weights. So I walked in, and I thought I could rely on my old high school wrestling skills. And I basically got broken in half by a guy who was about 130 pounds, and he must have been still a teenager, but I just remember getting choked, getting my face rubbed in the mat, and I couldn't believe what this kid could do to me. Even though I was a strong guy, I was, you know, bigger than him and stronger than him, but he had so many awesome techniques, and I loved the sport, and I also fell in love with the academy. Now, Jake is a black belt, and he's been doing jiu-jitsu for a long time. He's brought up a lot of different fighters, including Bobby Green, brought him to the UFC, brought a few others to the UFC, and he talks about that in this podcast. But we also have another young man on the podcast today that Jake has helped to get to the UFC, and that is Mr. Jamal Emmers. Jamal is also known as Pretty Boy MMA on Instagram, and he just got notified that he's gonna be in the UFC Contender Series, and he's fighting Julian Erosa on June 26th. And Jamal is a fantastic athlete, super dedicated, and he's also one of the instructors at Pinnacle MMA. And both these guys have had a huge influence on me, and they're both really awesome people. Jamal's got a great story, just coming up, trying out wrestling, trying to get into fighting, and really fighting's all he ever wanted to do since he was a kid, and he's getting to live out his dream on getting to the UFC. Jake's a really wise individual. You're going to get a lot from this conversation. And so before we get into it, I just want to give you a quick note from our sponsors, F-Bomb Nutrition. Really awesome people. They make an awesome product. They make these awesome portable packets of fats. Now, my favorite product of theirs is their macadamia nut butters. They've got macadamia nut butter mixed up with chocolate, macadamia nut butter mixed up with coconut butter. They got one with sea salt, and these things are absolutely delicious. They taste like a macadamia nut cookie that's been crunched up into a packet. There's no sugar in there or anything like that. I eat one for breakfast almost every morning. Really, really great stuff. You can get 20% off of your first order by using the code WarriorSoul at www.dropanfbomb.com. So with that, guys, I am going to leave you to the conversation and hope you guys enjoy it. Talk to you. This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. Now, that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited, and you need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason: to live your best life while you can. This is
the Warrior Soul Podcast. All right, guys, what is going on? We're over here at Warrior Soul HQ, which is really a little crappy house somewhere in Redlands, California. Anyways, this is my first in-person interview. I've done a lot of these online. I've talked to people from across the world, but I wanted to bring on two very important people to me and two really awesome people. So first is Jake Baney. Jake is the founder and owner of Pinnacle MMA here in Redlands, California. And then Jamal Emmers, who is a coach at Pinnacle and who is also found out he's going to be in the UFC Contender Series, June 26th, facing Julian Erosa. So first things first, I want to welcome you guys to the Warrior Soul Podcast. Both of you have been very important to me. I got into jiu-jitsu at 37 years old. So, at the time I was, when I started, I was 200 pounds. I could deadlift 600 pounds. And I walked in and I had a kid who was 130 pounds break me in half and literally rub my face into the mat. And so it was a really humbling experience. And you guys have such an effect on the students, like all the students who come into your school. You see these little kids going, they seem like little ninjas. You see older guys coming in and they just love it. And what is it about jiu-jitsu in the first place that does that to people? What is it that arises this sense of community?
I think hard work and perseverance. You know, you're going to lose more times than you're going to win in there, you know, so it's a humbling experience at first, you know, and when you're not having success in those areas and somebody else is kind of helping you through those areas, you bond with those people, you know. So as long as there's good people in the room, then I think people are going to gravitate to that kind of situation, you know. And then jiu-jitsu is just part of the process that happens.
And Jamal, you started out as a wrestler, right?
Yeah, I started out wrestling, yes.
And so you got into jiu-jitsu because you wanted to become a fighter, or was it like...
Yes, I always wanted to become a fighter since I was about 8 or 9 years old. Yeah.
And so when you first got into fighting, you first got into wrestling, you did so in high school, or was it younger than that?
Yeah, I started in high school. Wrestling in high school.
And did you get attracted to other forms of grappling right off the bat, or?
Yes. Like I looked for a judo school initially after high school, and after I did a little bit of college, I found a jiu-jitsu school first. So. Mm-hmm. I fell in love with jiu-jitsu the first day I went in there. I got tapped like quick. I was like, man, I thought my wrestling was enough, but it wasn't. So I got tapped with like under a minute. And I was like, wow, I kind of like this. So I just stayed around. I stuck with it.
And were you doing gi or no gi at that point? Or?
Oh, it was no gi.
Yeah.
It was no gi.
The gi was a surprise for me because like I came in like, and I had shorts and a t-shirt on that day, but the other guys had gis on, you know, the first time you're coming in. Jake's like, just come on in and train, you know, everything. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm on my stomach and I'm getting choked out by this piece of cloth wrapped around my neck. And I'm like, oh, what the hell is this? This is crazy.
Yeah.
But, so you started in there and you tried jiu-jitsu out, you loved it and everything. As far as your fight journey, like, where did that take you? Where did that start out? Did that start out in high school, or did it continue on beyond that? So, you know, where have you come from?
I'd say it started in high school. Growing up watching like all the old UFC and Pride videos, most dominant guys were wrestlers. Mm-hmm. So I started wrestling because I wanted to have that foundation. And then it just grew from there.
Yeah, and so you grew up in Florida, right?
Yes.
And then from there, where'd you travel to?
From there, I went to Waldorf College in Iowa. I went there for a year, and after that, I moved to Texas.
Okay. Well, Iowa, there must have been some monsters wrestling out there. I always hear about Iowa wrestling.
Yeah, they got a lot of tough, like, hard-nosed, blue-collar wrestlers there, yeah.
Guys working out there in the cornfields and everything like that. Just friggin'
hard kids.
Yeah. Yeah. They bend iron in half. With their hands. What was that like?
It was like a culture shock for me, really, because coming from like seeing the beach and the sun all the time to going to like negative 30 degree weather and the snow, and I was like, I don't like it here. So I was it just threw me for a loop. I was young, so I didn't really understand it. So I kind of freaked out and left pretty much. So I moved to Texas with my mom, like right after that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and started training like a few months after.
And you just got in with a few schools. That was in San Antonio?
Yes, in San Antonio, yeah. The first school I ever trained at was a Brazilian top team.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And trying to get that all that stuff straight. So I know you went over to Austin because you wanted to meet Bobby Green, who was another one of your students, right? And mm-hmm. and so you guys met up somewhere in Texas, right? Out there, right? So yeah. So how did that happen?
Well, Bobby was fighting in Austin. I wanted to meet Bobby. Me and Bobby had the same manager at one point. So I went up there. I drove like an hour to meet Bobby. Got there. Didn't meet Bobby.
Like a ninja.
Yeah, it's like, and then me and Jake instead, and like we had lunch and talked for a while. Got to know each other a little bit, and he invited me out there to California.
That's cool. That's cool. So, Jake, you brought up a few different fighters, right? From amateur all the way up to the UFC. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Initially, I opened up my school. I didn't want to do MMA. I didn't want to teach fighting at all, and just jiu-jitsu. That was it. And picked up this kid that I felt was pretty talented and just needed to have a ground game. So ended up started working with him. I think four or five fights, maybe five fights later, he was in the UFC. You know, so it was just something that just kind of just fell in our lap. You know, it's like the industry tried to take advantage of him, and I didn't want him getting taken advantage of. So I went in and started helping him. That's pretty much where it started happening.
And that was another kid.
Kid named Ruben Duran.
Okay.
He very talented kid. You know, he knocked out like six guys in a row. Had some pretty epic fights, and that drew a lot of attention to the program. And that's how I picked up Bobby Green and a handful of other guys. And then the team kind of just started evolving from there. You know, you start building a reputation. You know, and people that are serious about the sport will start seeking out those types of programs.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's interesting because, like, if you look at a lot of the different programs just around this geographic area, I mean, most of them were run by people you've touched, people that you've interacted with, or people you brought up. Yeah. And it's interesting because you have a huge footprint out here, at least in the Inland Empire and Southern California in general.
Yeah, I didn't even realize it myself until just like maybe a couple months ago. We were sitting down talking, and I was just like, man, it's like. Demographically, I started looking around where, you know, all these kids are that are in the areas that are training. And I have an old student of mine that has a school 2 miles away from me on my right side, and another one 2 miles away from me on my left side. And then on the other two sides are programs where the instructors have come out of my program, you know. So it's pretty interesting, you know.
Yeah.
All the kids that are in this area are coming through some kind of philosophy that I designed, you know, for. I think it's pretty cool.
That's an awesome legacy to have. That's a really awesome legacy to have. That's pretty crazy.
I like that they're all still, like, everybody's still pretty good. You know, everybody's mm-hmm. still pretty close. All the families and stuff still communicate with each other, hang out with each other at the tournaments, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you see that when you walk into your school. It's, like I said, I mean, the first thing I noticed when I came to school, there's these kids, and I've been to karate classes before. I've been to other martial arts classes before. And a lot of times you see the kids, they're jumping around. They're not paying attention. They're not doing what they're supposed to. But in your school, everybody's paying attention. Those kids, they know what they're doing. And pity the fool who tries to attack them on the playground, because they're going to be able to stand up for themselves. So.
We've had a few kids try. And what's really funny is we typically don't get the athletic kid. We typically get a kid that we have to build athleticism in, and then terminology and core strength. And then those kids 2 years into the program are kids that are making the team now, you know, that are impacting the team. And what happens is in that situation, them kids usually getting picked on and maybe didn't speak their mind, you know, as much as they probably should have as a kid growing up. They start building this confidence and understand they can take care of themselves more. And then boom, boom, boom. Next thing you know, a couple little scuffles happen and that's it. And it's over. It's usually once or twice and they never get picked on again.
Yeah, that's it's amazing what kind of confidence it can build for people. And the thing is, like, you look around at society today, and it seems like everybody complains. Everybody's like, everybody down on themselves, or everybody's talking about, you know, it's kind of like a feel good society now. And when you come into a sport like jiu-jitsu, it really teaches you that you got to be tough, and that you got to work, and that you've got to really earn your way forward, and you've got to figure out these problems on your own. Like, people could be telling you what to do, but you got to
make the connection.
You got to make those connections. So, you know, with your own jiu-jitsu journey, I know that I believe you used to play baseball, right?
Yes.
Back in the day. And so how did you first get into jiu-jitsu and fighting?
So I wrestled my senior year in high school only. Mm-hmm. I had one of my best friends was killed in a car accident. And I wrestled on his behalf. He was a 2-time state champion. And crazy story, wrestling coach asked me to come in and wrestle. I had not even known what happened. I go home, find out he passed away. I didn't even talk to the wrestling coach ever in school the whole time I was there. And just thought it was strange, you know, that he had come ask me to wrestle that same day my best friend passed. So I wrestled on his behalf and just fell in love with grappling. Just fell in love with it. I wasn't a great wrestler. I was okay, you know, but I didn't really understand the sport all that much. But I did, and it fell in love with it. So when my baseball career ended, it was just natural for me to just go and find something like that, you know. And I did, and started competing all over the United States in every competition I could possibly get to, and create this philosophy in regards to what I believe in is a effective grappler, and it seems to be working.
That's awesome. So with someone like Jamal, right? So Jamal came into your life. How long you guys known each other now?
Almost 3 years. 3 years or so. Almost 4 years. Yeah, almost 4.
Well, time flies.
So what did you need to work on at the start with Jamal, and how has that changed as you guys work together?
Good question. For me, was slow him down.
It's like a lot of wrestlers, right?
Slow him down. His record was way better than where he should have been in his game. And I don't necessarily mean that he wasn't good enough to fight there, but potentially is like, what are we looking for? You know, are you looking to just get to the UFC? Or are you looking to stay in the UFC? So these are two totally different types of careers. And he has the tools to be able to go there and contend for a UFC world title. He has all the attributes to make those things happen. He's got the work ethic. He's got everything that comes along with the character that's involved in the process.
What makes that difference? What's the difference between somebody who just gets to the UFC and then somebody who thrives there?
Mindset.
Mindset?
Yeah, mindset, for sure.
Thinking about the long-term game rather than just the short-term game?
As a coach on my end, like seeing it in my students, my athletes coming through, sometimes the goal is to get there. Mm. And they already psychologically have made this goal. They're like, man, if I could just get there, you know, I just get there. And then they get there, and those are the guys that get overwhelmed by their first night in the UFC. You know, they talk about these UFC jitters. Well, it's just the fact that they're just happy to get there. Mm-hmm. So mentally, how do you prepare an athlete for those types of situations where they can actually go in and perform based upon what's on the outside? Mm-hmm. That's the difference between the guy that stays and the guy that goes. If you can't shut all this off right there, it's very difficult to continue to keep winning in the UFC. And that's focus, you know, that's focus on the process leading to that moment.
Now, Jamal, how are you dealing with the jitters? Are you feeling that at all? Are you feeling like, you know, are you feeling any different now that it's a different fight, or is it all the same?
It's all the same to me. Like, I felt like it was about time.
Yeah. You know?
So, like, I don't feel like like nervous or like I'm more anxious to get in there and just fight. I'm just ready to fight. I love fighting, so like I don't get nervous or anything in any of my fights. I fall asleep.
So the only guy ever I've ever known to as soon as you just go to sleep and you wake up like maybe 10-15 minutes before he gets ready to go out and fight, and we warm him up and we go.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
All their like other guys are pacing. Everybody's got something. Yeah. You know, some guys pace, some guys talk, some guys like get sick, you know, and it just depends.
Because I was listening to George St. Pierre on the Joe Rogan podcast a few weeks ago, and he was talking, you know, he was talking about the fact he hates fight. Like he loves the lifestyle it brought him, but he says he hates fighting. And he said he the closer you get to the fight, the more you hate it. And that's interesting because like it seems like you're approaching this in a very calm manner. Like you're one of the most calm people I've seen. Like as far as like just your general demeanor, even seeing you training in the gym, seeing you work and everything like that, you seem like you have a very calm demeanor about you. Is that something you've learned to do, or is it something that's just natural?
I think I've always been like that. Like I've always been like the laid back kind of guy.
Yeah, just hanging out and everything like that.
I'm just there, you know.
What's your typical day like from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed?
Well, you know, I wake up in the morning.
In camp, out of camp, 3 months or how long?
I mean, it's pretty much the same though. Like even when I'm not in camp, I get up and train twice a day. Like I just, it's a lifestyle. It's not even. Like, what's camp? Like, I just do it. You know, I just train twice a day regardless.
Yeah, and you're doing a good bit of traveling around here, right?
Yeah.
So from, like, you know, as far as the drives in between, are you listening to anything? Are you listening to podcasts? Is there any particular thing you listen to?
Well, on my way to different, I like listening to music.
Yeah.
I've been listening to, like a lot of rap. Like Logic, I like Logic a lot. I like the way he delivers messages. Mm-hmm. So listen to him a lot. I've been listening to him a lot lately.
And mostly positive stuff.
Yeah, J. Cole, like a lot of positive stuff.
That's awesome. And then so in your downtime, how are you resting and relaxing? Like, what are you doing?
Well, some days I'll watch like a documentary. Like I like history, so I'll watch something on like Hitler or Africa or something like that. You know, like I like stuff like that. So that's what I do in my downtime. Right.
Likes history.
Yeah, I love history.
Or it goes to the chiropractor. or the physical therapist. Yeah, wherever you can to nurse his injuries, you know, or his little bumps.
How do you handle the injuries? So is it a lot of mobility, flexibility kind of stuff? Are you doing like any kind of special therapies with the chiro or anything like that?
Yeah, just like minor adjustments. Like I don't like whatever they can help manage the pain, I guess, because I got a high tolerance of pain. So if something hurts me, it really hurts me. Mm-hmm. Like usually I just walk it off or whatever. Like I got a, like if I have like a bump on my knee or something, I just like, oh, whatever. It's all right. I don't care. Yeah. But if it's like super bad, like it's just like just minor stuff, you know, to get me to deal with it, but it's not really too bad with the pain.
And how are you diet wise? So are you doing anything to minimize the wear and tear, inflammation, things like that?
Yeah, he got like some green juice.
So what I've been doing is research on superfoods, mm-hmm. and blending superfoods in different combinations so that the ratios change. And we played with it in regards to the diet and the weight cut for our fight. Mm-hmm. And we've used this a couple times now, I think three times now. We tested it and we ran it through the last two fights, I think. And it's worked really well. Keep his energy levels up. His weight seems to drop still. We don't lose too much, you know, and monitoring his food intake at that point with making sure he's getting the superfood nutrition. it just brain function good, everything, energy levels good, everything seems to be good.
Any particular types of superfoods you want to mention, or like?
Well, we use three different kinds of kale. We use broccoli in there a little bit. We have sweet potatoes. We have yams.
Lots of polyphenols in there.
Yeah,
but a lot of really good anti-inflammatory stuff.
Yep. And then we'll the meals that you'll have after that will be more high in protein, high in fiber. Mm-hmm. Still superfoods and things that are mostly soups and chilies and things like that. Things with beans. And man, it's been working really well.
Yeah, the insoluble fiber from the beans and even some of the soluble fiber, but the insoluble fiber really helps to feed the gut microbiome. A lot of people don't understand that. Like, your digestive tract and your brain, they're inextricably connected. So if you do have like a bump on your elbow or on your, you know, if you have a joint that's painful, it's usually emanating from a problem in the digestive tract. Because the inflammation there goes everywhere. And something I've been trying to educate a lot of people on as far as nutrition goes.
So would a ketogenic diet help in that area?
That could, but the keto diet is like, and this is what I tell people about dieting, right? And it doesn't matter if you're doing a keto diet, doesn't matter if you're doing plant-based, vegan, zone, whatever it is, there's two things that always matter. Nutrient density and digestibility. Right. So like nutrient density means what types of micronutrients are you getting? What types of fatty acids, what types of polyphenols, what types of vitamins, minerals, things like that are you getting from it? Digestibility means the ability to absorb and integrate those nutrients in your body. Right. So the ability to extract and integrate those nutrients in your body. So for example, like certain types of nuts, like Brazil nuts, right? Awesome for you. So nutrient dense, but if they're not soaked and you can't digest them, then you're not getting it. Right. So that's the big thing is like, regardless of what diet you're doing, make sure it's nutrient dense and then rendering the food digestible.
Okay. So how I came up with this process is that I was after inflammation.
Yeah.
And USADA came in to the UFC and started drug testing everybody, which was great. But there were some supplements that we used over the counter that they say we can't use no more. And a lot of them were recovery stuff, you know. So we had to do away with it. So naturally, I go towards a natural source of, okay, what's our best options here for recovery? It says when he trains two times a day or three times a day, we need to make sure that there's an abundance of these things in his body so that we could try and keep his immune system up. So it's strengthen the immune system and rid the body of stress.
Yep.
Okay, so how do we do it? And then you start looking at all the different superfoods and you start looking at what are the most common superfoods that are in all of these different types of things, like whether it be cardiovascular disease, cancer, like diabetes, Parkinson's, you know, and you find like, oh, damn, these eight superfoods are all the same superfoods and all the remedies to these side effects or these situations, which was inflammation, strengthening the immune system. And I was like, boom, there's our greens. Boom, this is how we make this particular juice that we're going to drink two times a day at this time. And then, okay, and then I go, okay, well, what's you know, better for us in this area? And then we find garlic with these other things.
Yep.
So I just broke it all down like that and then took the most important ones and then blend them together and bam, there
That's
we
awesome.
Go.
That's yeah. awesome. One important thing is with the vegetables, like slice them up before you put them in the blender. Let them sit there for 10 minutes.
Okay.
Right? Because the plants, they all have a defense mechanism, right? And those defense mechanisms are to heal the plant tissue once it's been damaged. So the way they do that is they release polyphenols to heal that plant damage. So what happens is if you slice them up, they'll release these enzymes that'll make them more digestible. And then with the enzyme release, there'll be more polyphenols and it'll make it more nutritious than it was
in the first place. Interesting. Yeah. That's good knowledge. Right there.
Just cut them up for 10 minutes and sit in there.
Yeah, that's about how long it takes me to get that shit through the juicer.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
For sure.
So, so as far as, you know, you got your camp going on right now. Any things that you've changed since you got the notice you're going to be on the contender?
I just been just up in the training a little.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, just a little tweak.
Have you noticed a change in your game at all?
I haven't noticed a big change in my game, yeah.
Because I haven't normally traveled with him too much. Mm-hmm. So what I've been doing is laying down this foundation for what it is I'm looking for, and I build the foundation, and now we're going to go out and we're going to gain knowledge in all these other areas, you know, and he can build upon that, you know. So he's had the chance to go with a handful of different great guys, you know, out of Dan Henderson School in Temecula. Has got an awesome group of guys over there that he's been training with. And I thought he did really well in their room, you know, and there's a couple other rooms he got to go into. So, I mean, I see it in your game. Have you?
Yeah, I've seen a big change in my game.
Awesome.
Like, I'm starting to see certain things that I haven't seen before. Like, even, like, when I'm sparring or, like, rolling with other people, it's like I can see an opening, like it just lights up for me now, instead of just like me just stumbling upon it. It's like, oh, I know I could create one, and then it's like the light at the end of the tunnel.
Create the movement, yeah. The motion to allow those things to occur, the angles. You know, how do you play movement?
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm starting to see that.
That's really
good. That's the thing. Like, it seems like you're getting to that point from what you're describing. It seems like you're getting to the point where you're starting to be able to observe yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? And really kind of become a spectator within your own mind. That's what a lot of people describe with like meditation,
yeah.
and being able to like observe themselves as being a participant rather than just being stuck in their head all the time.
Yeah. So it feels like exactly like
that's so interesting. That's so interesting how people reach those states through different things. You know, I had Tom Campbell on the other day, and Tom's an interesting dude, right? He says that our consciousness is actually in another universe, and we're just like avatars, and that what we have here is a virtual reality. So like, and I know you're into strategy games and things like that. So his point is that we're literally in like a World of Warcraft game or something like that right now.
Yeah. Like, perspective of mind.
Yeah.
Perspective of mind is everything.
It sounds crazy, but like he's a physicist by trade.
So already crazy.
Yeah, exactly. But like hearing stuff like that, it makes me think. It's like, you know, when you see people attain these degrees of mastery, you know what I mean? And like, you know, you can go back to like Roger Bannister, who ran the first 4-minute mile. And then once he was able to do it, everybody else was able to do it. Or not everybody. I couldn't run a 4-minute mile, but like a lot of people could do it. You know what I mean? And it seems like the more you get at something, and the more you obtain that mastery, the more you're able to become an observer and not just kind of be stuck there. And that's one of my problems in jiu-jitsu, like being on the mat. You're like, shit, what the fuck's going on? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's man, I would say like 85% psychological, I think, fighting is for most people, you know. If you have good conditioning, you know, and you understand fight philosophy, you know, it's not that hard to throw a straight right hand or an overhand or a jab, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's a lot that goes to it, not just punching people, you know what I mean? Or trying to hit somebody.
Now, you're also one of the most the physically strongest fighters I've seen. I've seen you deadlift and everything like that.
Oh, get up. What a compliment.
But yeah, I mean, you do trap bar deadlifts at like 400, 500 pounds, and you're what? What's your body weight?
Like 165.
Yeah, yeah. You're not.
You're like 159 right now.
Yeah, I'm small right now.
Coach D, you know what I mean? Like, give him a shout out.
My strength coach is like, maximize my strength like tenfold.
Won coach of the year.
Yeah, he won coach of the year for,
he's a strength coach at the University of Laverne.
Okay.
And has worked with some pretty good athletes, you know, some top athletes. He's created his own athletes. That's what I like about him a lot. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of coaches that will get guys from other programs and, you know, claim to be their own, you know, and it's different. You know, you still add tools to those guys' games. Like, I got him when he had a year of college wrestling too, you know. So he had a decent ground game already, you know. So I just tweaked it, fine-tuned it, put my foundation in, you know. But still he has influence from his original instructors, you know, that he has trained with. You know, so it's just a whole process altogether.
That's I mean, it's just interesting though, like, just being somebody who's done strength and conditioning for a long time, you know. I love it when I see somebody be able to take somebody from one level and bring them up to another one. I think that's amazing.
Yeah. Huge jump right there.
Yeah. Just the science behind it and all the effort and things like that. So I've seen you doing trap bar deadlifts and things like that. What other kind of exercises have you been doing?
Front squat, like the front squat, like 300 pounds.
Really? Yeah. Olympic style like this? Or? Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
What else?
My footwork drills.
Footwork stuff. Yeah, my footwork has gotten a lot better. Mm-hmm. I can tell in sparring, like, sparring certain guys, like, I could get behind them. Mm-hmm. Like, my footwork has gotten that much better. What else? Dumbbell bench press we did. I did, like, 95 pounds.
I was like, man, not very often does he do
that. Yeah, not very often. But I was just amazed that I can do it.
Pull-ups. Pull-ups, push-ups, ropes.
Yeah.
Well, being able to front Olympic front squat 300 pounds at 165 body weight is a lot. You know, that's that in my mind, as far as movements that really determine an athlete, I mean, that's all thoracic extension and being able to keep your elbows up. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people can't do that. And I think that's a true test of athletic strength right there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Are you doing any Olympic lifting or anything like that?
Well, not too much, though. We've been doing a lot more like circuit stuff and like more running.
More fight specific for this fight. Yeah. So his strength and conditioning will change depending on who we're fighting, mm-hmm. or how we're going to fight our fight. Mm-hmm.
And so where is the fight going to be? It's going to be at?
In Vegas.
In Vegas. Yes. Vegas. That's awesome. And so that's June 26th. And so you're in the final few weeks now of the camp. So anything that changes in the final few weeks?
We just gonna more running, make sure my condition is up to par, more pool work. We're just gonna play it smart at this point because we're so close to the fight. I'm not gonna do nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
We'll probably get like maybe two more sparring days in.
Now, one other thing I want to mention, because a lot of our audience is combat veterans, guys who are like 25 and above, might have served in the U.S. Army or the U.S. Marine Corps, and they're looking for something else to do with their lives. They're looking for something to hold on to, right? And a lot of them have had a hard time over the past decade and a half. You know, our veteran suicide rate has been crazy. What do you think martial arts could do for these guys?
The way you described it is how I would see that is as we grow up, we tend to be put into different types of sports activities, whether it be whatever, dance, jiu-jitsu, karate, baseball, football, and we grow up like this when we get into high school. A lot of these guys move into the military right out of high school. Mm-hmm. They never really got into what real life is like, you know? So they go right into the military. They go through all of the training. They go through all the camaraderie that's built in having a team and relying on your team and your people. And all of a sudden, you're spit out into the regular world. And regular world is not like that. You don't have a team like that. And your team like that, you look around and go, oh, it's my family. Well, your family isn't a good, very good team in a lot of ways like that. You know, you can't rely on your family like that in a lot of ways. In some ways, yes, but not in the perspective of like what you would expect out of your infantry or something like that. You know what I mean? Like where that mindset is like that, you know? So that's the biggest thing. I see the help for those kinds of guys is like coming in and just being a part of something like that where there's good guys that have the same kind of commonality that they want to work hard, you know, they want to learn new things. And what happens, they start sweating, they start bleeding together on the mat, and they start finding those relationships. And when you have a good relationship like that, that changes the mindset and everything else that goes along with your life. It comes into your life, you know? So I think it's amazing. You know, I mean, we've had a handful of veterans come through that have had some issues like that. And trained with us for 4 or 5 years, you know, and then changed their whole entire life, moved somewhere else, and now they're doing jiu-jitsu in another state, and they're doing great, you know. And it you hear it all the time, jiu-jitsu saved my life. Jiu-jitsu, it's just that journey. It's that mental area where those guys miss those relationships. In its most simplistic way, it's that bond. It's gone. When they spit you out, it's gone. And you try and maintain it on Facebook with your friend over here or your friend over there, and you can't relate to everybody else because your experiences are different than everybody else's experiences in society. That's why I think what you got going on is so amazing, is you're connecting these people. So once you connect these people, you got your group of people. Now you got to connect them to these people within their communities that are these types of programs, that are these types of businesses, that are gravitating to those types of relationships and building teams, you know, and when you can build a team around somebody like that, they'll flourish. Mm-hmm. They'll flourish. You don't go through the military without coming out in the regular world and being able to be successful in whatever it is you do. All those guys that come to my school, they've ever been in the military, they wake up, they make their bed, everything's tucked and neat, and their boots are under, their shoes are underneath, their gis hung up, you know what I mean? Everything. You can teach that person to do just about anything in regular society. Absolutely. If his mindset is correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a big thing, is the camaraderie. The camaraderie as far as, and that, I noticed that, you know, the first day I went in your school, everybody generally seems to care about each other and generally is there for each other. And, in, you know, same thing with both of you, you both put such care into the teaching aspect of martial arts. I think that's amazing. And you're both going to have such an awesome impact on the community because of that.
Thanks, Ben.
Jamal, you know, as you're heading into this fight, I know that you've come a long way as far as just as a person, as far as, you know, going from being a very young person dreaming about fighting, but now, you know, stepping into the UFC. What's your message for people out there who are trying to figure out their way in life?
Just try, like, you gotta, how can I put this? You just gotta try a lot of different stuff and see what sticks, pretty much. That's how I found fighting, like, because growing up, I wasn't like an athletic kid. I didn't even like sports, you know.
Really?
Not at all. Didn't even like fighting at first, you know. But, like, I seen, like, it brought my dad, me, and my brother together. So I used to sit down and watch it with him. And eventually I started to like it more, you know. And it just grew from there. So it's just, like, something that just, like, it found me. I didn't find it.
So that grind is, would you say, failure?
Oh, a lot of failure. Yeah, a lot of failure. I felt
not being afraid to fail.
And I don't just have to pick myself back up and try it again. No.
Yeah, that's such a big thing. I mean, I always tell people, you know, falling on your face isn't failure. It's failure looks like the hottest chick in the room, right? And we're attracted to it like moths to a light bulb. Like, failure looks like your couch and the comfort you have there when you're not getting off of it. It looks like your snooze button. But failure is definitely not falling on your face. That means you tried. And, mm-hmm. and you only fail if you don't get back up again.
Yeah. Failure is my best friend, come to find out.
And all the fights he's had, you know, the one loss is the fight they talk about a lot, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting that they always bring that fight up, you know.
Yeah.
But we talked about it going into the fight, you know, it was the right decision. This kid wants to be a world champion, you know what I mean? So you got to do those things and test yourself. He learned so much about himself in that fight. It was unreal.
That's, I mean, it's crazy what you do learn. And, you know, I think that you got a great attitude. And I think, you know, carrying that message out there to everybody you come in contact with, that's going to do a world of good. You know, one more thing I wanted to ask both of you guys, and that's that as you're pushing into this and you're making your path toward this June 26th debut, has anything in your, as far as your mindset, like like, I'm trying to see how to put this because, like, sometimes I screw the way I talk. So, has anything in your mindset been, you know, should I be here right now? Should I, like, do you ever feel like, you know, it's you ever feel like it's not, God damn, I'm screwing my own words up. Do you ever feel like, cause like I get what's called imposter syndrome, right? Like a lot of times, like, so like I'll be here on the podcast and I'll be like, why the hell are people listening to me and things like that. Do you ever feel like that? And how do you overcome those?
Feelings? Yeah, I actually,
it took me a long time to get out of my mouth. I'm sorry, guys.
It's almost such a self doubt, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that, I'll let him answer, but you know, that's kind of a coach's job, you know, is to help an athlete in those areas.
Yeah. I remember, a conversation, remember?
Yeah, a lot of times.
About, like, I had Melissa was one of my best friends and, like, way better wrestler than I was and everything. And, like, and I'm like, man, he, like, how did I make it this far in, like, this sport? And I'm like, man, this dude's, like, way better than I was. Like, it just was amazing how it happened. And he was telling me, like, because you're supposed to be here. It's just fate. That's how it's supposed to go. So, like, I used to think that way. Like, like, dang, why am I here? How did I get here? But it's supposed to happen.
It's a journey. You know, when you make your mind up to do something like that, you know, the perseverance to be able to continuously go after your goal is the journey.
And I think that's part of the process of leveling up, too. I mean, when you're being called to do great things, it's like,
you know, to work.
Yep. Exactly.
It's not his job. You know what I mean? It's become his work. And that's what I feel like he's learning at this stage, you know, is like he's starting to understand the balance between work and his job, you know, in those areas. But I'm excited to see this one, man. I think it's going to be dynamic.
I think it's going to be cool. And against Julian Erosa, right?
Yeah.
It's awesome. Anything you want to say to him?
Just guard your grill.
That's all. Got any excuses to make, right?
That's cool. Damn, that's cool. And how can people find you on social media?
Instagram, Twitter, Pretty Boy Emers.
Awesome. And then Pinnacle?
Pinnacle MMA JB on Instagram.
Pinnacle MMA JB. And I'm going to put both those up on the show notes. And guys, first off, I want to thank you for coming on.
You're awesome.
And Jamal, I want to wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll be able to do like a little highlight reel of the victory for your fans, you know?
Absolutely. I'm going to put a little highlight reel together for the show notes as well.
Awesome.
So I'm going to probably go onto YouTube and take pieces of past fights and things like that, throw them up there. So
nice. Very cool. What an honor to be on here. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
I appreciate you guys coming on, and I'm honored to have you on. So everybody out there, first off, I apologize for all of my verbal tics and everything like that. But I want to say to each and every one of you out there, you know, jiu-jitsu is something that I came in contact with late in life. And I absolutely see 100% the value in martial arts. I think it's an absolutely amazing thing. I see what it does for the kids at Pinnacle. And I got to get my ass back to practice. It's been a while, so you're probably going to kick my ass after this. After this interview. So whatever you're doing out there, wherever you are, get out there and live your best lives while you can.